Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
We are looking still on our series, We Are Family, and we are going to zero in on identity. And last week we began by asking the question, which was the topic and which is still the topic today, who am I? Hallelujah. And we looked at four major steps. The first one was our original position. How many of us remember? Last week we looked at our original position. In our original position, we saw our original position from Genesis chapter 1, 26, 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I'll try not to waste much time here because we did mention it, but two things highlighted here last week, and we're seeing it again today. God made man in his image and in his likeness. All right? Then the second thing was God said, be fruitful, and all that and all that. So, and we did say that to be able to rule over the birds in the sky, over the fish in the sea and all that, you have to have the form and the image. All right? The goat, the lion will not rule over them. Why will the goat, lion not rule over them? Because they don't have the capacity, the image of what is required to rule. Hello, follow me closely. There's an image you need to have to be able to rule over the birds in the sky, over the fish in the waters. Hallelujah. So it was only man that was given that responsibility, and it's only man that has that capacity because man was made in the image and likeness of God. But a little further, I realized that oftentimes we say rule over the birds in the sky. You know, you will not be able to rule over the birds in the sky if you don't have rule over the sky. Hello? You will not be able to rule over the birds in the sky if you don't have the sky, if you don't have control over the sky. Neither will you be able to rule over the fish in the water if you don't have influence over the water. So the truth of the matter is that we are not just to rule over the birds, over the fish. We are also supposed to rule the sky. We are also supposed to control and influence the waters. Hello? We are not just supposed to influence these things. We are also supposed to influence the environment in which these things operate. No wonder Joshua was able to tell the sun to stand still. Because his influence was not just to the birds in the sky. His influence also includes what happens in the sky. We are still establishing Genesis chapter 1, 26, 28, in which the image of God, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. So it means, therefore, the likeness of God happens to be the functionality of God. It means, therefore, that if I am not aware or I lack the image of God, although I look like God, I will not be able to function like God. Hello, the goal of a car is for transportation. No matter how beautiful something that looks like a car is, if it is not able to move you from one place to another, it's not a vehicle. Hello? The goal of a vehicle is for movement. It might be very exotic, but it's, as long as it's not able to move you from one place to another, it looks like a vehicle. It's not a vehicle. So you can look like the image of God and not have the image of God. It can look as if you have the resemblance of the functionality and the workings of God and not have it. Because naturally we have been made in the image and likeness of God to rule, to establish influence, to establish dominion over circumstance, over land, over sea, over the waters. Hallelujah. Then let's go further. Man fell, and when man fell, the fall and what was lost. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any of those trees in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we must eat from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. That was the four. Then Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was when man sinned. That was when man fell from the glory of God. I will pick the glory of God later as we move on. Then when that happened, what fell was our image and our identity, our freedom, our power to choose, our authority and our access to God's resources and blessings. These are just some of the things that fell, that we no longer had access to when the sin happened. Then we move to the third stage, which is the stage restoration and what was restored. Hallelujah. In restoration, John chapter 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. The part that, you know, it's a popular Bible verse and we are familiar with it. But the part that took my attention was the one underlined. So that everyone, like I said last week, a top priority for restoration and redeeming the world was man. It didn't say whatsoever. In another translation, say whosoever. It didn't say everything. It said everyone. Hallelujah. It didn't say everything, but say everyone. So in the redemption and the restoration process of the world, I am top priority in God's mind, because through me, he will redeem the world. He will not be able to redeem the world without me. Because in the world, I'm the only one that was created in his image and likeness. If I was not the only one created in his image and likeness, then he can use the other option to redeem the world. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So he said, everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus, we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is the image of God. In Colossians 1:15, it said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hello, the Son is the image of God, taken. The firstborn, which means that after, if we are picking the firstborn, which means there are other borns. Hello. Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, the firstborn. If there were no others, emphasis would not be on firstborn. So, I am happy to present to you, Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn and you are the second. Hello. He is the firstborn and you are the second. And you being the second means that you are also the express image of the invisible God. Genesis 5:3 says, and Adam begat Seth after his image or after his likeness. Hello, that's what Genesis chapter 5 verse 3 say. And Adam begat Seth after his image. Now, one of the things that is difficult to wrap our hand around is, I am the image of God. When we say a chair, you have a picture. But when we say the image of God, you can't wrap your head around, what is that when you say the image of God? And because Jesus is the image of God, I am the image of God. So if it synced together for Jesus to be the only one, because in heaven, he was the only son. It's fit to be that he's the only one fit to redeem me and restore me back to my original position. So if I wasn't the image of God, why would the image of God come to redeem a goat? Value begets value. Hallelujah. Somebody getting this? So 2 Corinthians 4:4, I'm still reviewing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displayed the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Most times we are okay with knowing that Jesus is the image of God, but we find it difficult to accept that we are the image of God. All right? Then Psalm 8, verse 4 to 8 says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than Elohim and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rule over the works of your hand. You put everything under their feet, all flocks, herds, and animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. You are seeing again the declaration that was said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He said, let us make man. That was the plan. Then in Psalm 8, we are seeing that it's not just a plan. He has implemented the plan. Man has been created, and man has been made in the image and likeness of God, just a little bit lower than himself. Just a little bit lower than himself. To rule. And he didn't leave us in heaven because we cannot rule in heaven. He's already ruling. He needed to create a domain for us to be able to rule so that we experience what he's experiencing. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, this was what I was created for. To rule. To influence. To dominate. To expand the kingdom of my Father. Hallelujah. So that was it. Then what was restored? The first thing that was restored is our image, our identity. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Someone will always tell me, in fact, people tell me, say, Ofrey looks like your wife, Elose looks like you. Then my response will be like, it is expected. If it does not look like the mother or me, then there's a question. All right? So sometimes you look at somebody and say, you look at somebody. Tell the person, you look like God. Hey, let it sink. Let it sink. Because the Bible says, and if children, then heirs of God. He said, we are children. Which means if we are children of God, which means God is our Father, it is normal for us to look like him. And notice, in the looking like him, it's not just looking like him in terms of formation. That's where the cross of this conversation is going to be. It's also looking like him in terms of functionality. Someone tell me, do you know that, Lucy just did it just now. This is how he smiles. Hello. It is expected that when you see the child and an offspring of someone, you see an attribute of his source. Hello. Let this thing sink. When you see someone formation, you could be his eyes, his facial formation. You say, you look like. Then when you see a behavior, you look like. So our expression and our formation should trigger people to say, take it further, our creativity and the solutions we provide should make people say, you look like God. The way we talk should make people say, you look. The way you respond in the face of circumstances, pressure, tension, should make people say, you look like God, because we are children of God. Because if a child is behaving like landlord, and landlord is not the owner of the house, so if you are not behaving like God, We are coming back to this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me flip, just go to today's own. So let's look at, I'm a very logical person, so I've been thinking. When you see Elose, you say it looks like me. So you have been telling me I look like God. Let us make man in our image and likeness. All right? So I've been trying to look for this image of God. I know God is spirit, is it not? So you are going to patiently follow me to read this very long scripture because we are looking for the image of God. I don't like when something is too abstract, my logical mind. All right, so let's try to look for the image of God. Ezekiel chapter 1 is very long. Verse 1 to 28. Then we also look at it from Revelation chapter 4. Hello. Want to look like what? Nobody has seen him though, but people have had encounter and revelation, and they try to describe what they saw. And look at somebody, tell the person, the real you, your image is not this you sitting down. Tell the person, the real you is not this you you can see. Tell the person, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a mortal body. What you are seeing right now is my mortal body. You have not seen my spirit. Let's check. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 21 to 28. In my 13th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day, while I was among the exile by the Kebar River, the heavens were open and I saw a vision of God. I saw what? Of what? Talk to me. Vision of what? In Genesis chapter 1, who said, let us make man? You need to allow your mind to engage right now. I saw vision of God. The same God that said, let us make man in our image. So I saw the person that said, let us make man. And I could not explain his tall, his short. The best was to do was to describe what I saw. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Joachim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of, let's just go. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Is it possible that is your now your one face at the sisu? Hello. Let this one sink. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings, and the wings of one touched the wing of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each one of the four had the face of human being, and on the right side, each side had the face of a lion, and on the left side, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. They each had two wings spreading out upward, each wing touching that of the creature on either side, and each had two other wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirits would go, they would go. They would go without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creature was like burning coal of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creature, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel, intersecting the wheel. As they moved, they would go in and in any one of the four directions the creature faced. The wheel did not change direction as the creature went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creature moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creature rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When the creature moved, they would also move. When the creature stood still, they would also stood still. And when the creature rose from the ground, the wheels also rose with them. Because, okay, spread out above the heads of the living creature was what looked something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Under the vault of their wings were stretched out one towards the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creature moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings, and there they came a voice from above the vault over their head as they stood with lower wings. Above the vault over their heads was that what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli, and high above on each throne was a figure like that of a man. And I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like a glowing metal, and as if full of fire, and that from where down he looked like a fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. Who? This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. For all have seen and fallen short of. And now we are seeing trying to describe the glory. For all have seen and falling short. When we sin, we fell from the standard. We fell from our identity. We fell from our resemblance. Now we are looking at what was that resemblance that we fell from. That's what we are looking at here. When I saw it, I fell down. I heard the voice of one speaking to me. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Let's just substantiate it to Revelation chapter 4. All right? Revelation chapter 4. Follow me closely so I'll be a little bit slow. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard first speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. Who is made in the image and likeness of God? Talk to me. Who is made in the image and likeness of God? Tell the person, the real me is not the person sitting by your side. We want to describe the appearance of your father. It looks like had the appearance of jasper and ruby. So the real me, the real me in my identity is the appearance of jasper and ruby, not this flesh. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were the 24 elders, another throne, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Ha! Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." Wherever the living creature, whenever the living creature give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and by you, by your will, they were created." Hallelujah. If you were to describe you, will you still describe you like, "I'm not too tall, I'm not too short"? Will you still describe yourself by those physical statistics? This is what you look like. So let us make man to look like what we just described. You know, in that Ezekiel, Zechariah, when the Bible was talking about before the glory of God appeared, the things, the rumbling and everything that moves and goes around. And we are made in the image likeness of God. Is it that you don't know now before you appear in a place, there are rumblings and thunder that... Is it possible that you are not aware that before you appear in a place, before the governor appears in a place, you hear the siren, you hear the movement, you hear all the things, you know that somebody is, a dignitary is coming. And we are seeing that is mirrored in the, that's just they borrowed that from the Bible. Before God's appear, that is what you see. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. Is it possible that our Father, before he appears, he appears like that? Then when we, the children, want to appear, we appear like paupers? No. It means that before we appear also, because it's in the bloodline, it's in our nature. The Father does not allow his children to move without entourage. We move with entourage. It's just that we don't. Okay. Did I drive home that message? Let's see this. I did say man sinned, right? So let's look at how man sinned. In Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 17, we missed the point to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit at that time. I'll backtrack. Can we pray in the language of the Holy Spirit? Go ahead. If that is who you look like, if that is you, that is the real you, that is you. If that is you we described just now in Revelation chapter 4, this is, I can't be described by magazines. I can't be described by I don't want to call any of those magazines right now. I can't be described by magazines that talk about first 1 billion under 30, first 1 billion, make one. I can't be described by those things. I can't be described by my possession. I can't be described by my position. I can't be described by the power I occupy. What described me is the image of my Father. So can we just pray in the language of the Holy Spirit a bit? As you are praying, that you are stretching your mind to grab the fact that this is who I am. This is who I am. This is the resemblance. This is who I am. This is where I'm caught from. This is I am a spirit that looks like this. Oh. My head might not understand it, but my heart receive it. I am made in the image and likeness of God. As he is in heaven, so are we in this world. Oh, I look like my Father. My Father is spirit. So in my spirit man, I have the exact replica of my Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So how man sinned? In Genesis chapter 2, 15, 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to walk it and take care of it. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. To 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. We read this before. The Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruits We eat the fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Although they were already like God. So the sin actually that happened on the cross that made man to fall was the sin of disobedience. Disobedience was what made us to lose, fall short of the glory of God. Disobedience was what made us to fall short of the glory of God. So I'm going to quickly, you're going to allow me to do a little biochemistry today. There's what we call denaturation, all right? Denaturation. Denaturation is a process in which protein, DNA, that you see nucleic acid, DNA, I'm looking for the simplest way not to confuse anybody, right? The gene, you say, he looks like me because a part of my gene is in him, all right? So what makes you look, So in denaturation, it's a process where a protein, nucleic acid, lose the quaternary structure, tertiary structure, or bottom line, loses its shape, loses its formation, its image. That's what denaturation is, as it were. Look at this next slide and see the picture I'm talking about. You see, the one by your left-hand side, all right, is the original shape of that DNA or the nucleic acid. You can change it to the other one so that we'll see it. All right, so go back to the first one. That's the original one. Now, when it loses its shape, it can no longer perform its function. Hello? To be able to perform its function, it must remain in this shape. The moment it is subjected to external pressure, either temperature or acidic environment, all right, it will lose its shape. And the moment it loses its shape, it will no longer be able to function anymore. So what will need to be done is renaturation, to be able to return it back to its original shape. Hello? You follow that simple? So the idea is sin creates, disobedience creates an extreme environment of sin that causes us to lose our shape. And our shape is the image of God. And the moment we lose our shape, we are not able to function like God. Do you get that? You get that illustration? So every time we disobey, we lose our power, our control, our choice to the devil, and we empower him. And the moment we lose our control, lose our power, lose our authority, we can no longer rule over the birds in the sky and the sky. We can no longer rule over the fish in the water and the water. We can no longer rule over the beast in the field and the field. Although we are now looking like the image of God, but something is missing. That's why I told you before initially, a car, as long as it's not moving you from one place to another, even though it looks like a car, it's not a car. Although we are having traces that look like the image of God, but we are not able to function like God because our formation has been distorted by the choice we made to be disobedient to instructions. Hallelujah. Did I drive home that point? Okay. So look at somebody say, disobedience create an extreme environment that breaks your identity. And whenever your identity is broken, you are not able to function in your capacity as a child of God. Hallelujah. Not overflow that. So I said sin destroys the image of God in you. Disobedience creates an extreme environment. That is sin. It destroys your formation. So disobedience will rob us off of our identity. It will rob us off of our freedom. It will rob us of authority. It will rob us of our blessings. And these are critical requirements to be able to fulfill rule over the birds of the sky and the others. How was man restored? Look at how man was restored. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. I'll tie up now. He said, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, he said, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name. How were we restored? Obedience. Hello. How were we restored? Obedience. Say, he was obedient to death and death on the cross. So, the more we obey the Father, his instruction, the more we are established in our identity, the more we have the freedom that is required and the authority to make choices and be able to control the birds in the sky. Hallelujah. The more we are able to access God's blessings and God's resources. It's not just because I'm made in me. He said, be not conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because every time you conform to the patterns of this world, you lose your image. Denaturation takes place. He said, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You cannot renew your mind by standing to renew your mind. You need to obey some certain instruction to renew your mind. And as you begin to renew your mind, you begin to renaturation, begin to come back into the image of God, which we read in Revelation chapter 4. And in that state, you can fulfill, multiply, subdue, fill the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly. There was this story between an FBI officer and some police officers. So he was standing somewhere. They came to meet him just during this racism stuff. And they met him and they were harassing him. And because of harassing him, he was trying to resist them, but they overpowered him and they took him and put his hand to the back and handcuffed him. Then in the course of the debate, they put their hand inside his pocket and brought out his wallet. When they brought out his wallet, the next thing they brought out was his ID card. And immediately they brought out his ID card, they saw he was an FBI officer. They apologized immediately. The guy told all of them to submit the ID card and to call their boss. Obedience to the voice of God, obedience to the instruction of the Father, establish your authority so that you can look at life and question what is harassing you. Many times we want to question what is arising us, but we don't have the authority to question what is arising us because we have not given to full obedience. Hello? Because we have selected what we should obey. The more we obey, say he was obedient to death on the cross. To be obedient to death is not convenient. Death on the cross is even worse. So even in spite of the adverse condition and situation, he was still obedient. And that obedient established his authority. Say God now gave him a name that's above every other name. So the FBI officer knew who he was. The moment they realized who he was able to tell them and actually humble them. Many times sickness harasses us. Depression harasses us. Failure harasses us. And we are only wishing, not knowing that we have an ID card that gives us an authority to put an end to that harassment. Life harasses us and as if the gate of destiny doesn't want to open up. Sometimes look as you are struggling so hard, for something to happen. But just look as if you have been resisted and the door is not opening. When you obey to the point where he said you are subject to obey even to death and death on the cross. And you come to a point where God has given you a name that is above every other name. Then you can rise up and question what is resisting you. Many times we are unable to question what is resisting us because we are lacking in our image, yet want to function like God. Hello? Yes, we go to church. That Bible verse, we read it on Sunday. People worship an unknown God. We ought to know who we worship. But many times we are believers who don't know who we worship. And you cannot know who you worship and want to still operate in this level of authority and tell the agent. You know, the police officer, they are security agent too. Their authority structure put in place. But even in authority structure, there are levels. All right? So many times we wish to question what is stopping us, what is resisting us. But we lack the awareness. We lack the resources because we have given to partial obedience. So as royalties, and you know I told you last week, they normally teach them how to live. They normally teach them how to live. And the more they obey the teaching, the more you see that royal behavior, that royal culture come out of them. And the more that royal culture come out of them, when they give an instruction, you cannot see a tout and you say it's, and he's saying it's royalty. You normally say royalty don't behave like this. All right? But you see most times when they want to give authority, they don't come shouting, they are calm together and they're just dishing it. It's not in the volume of the intensity of their voice. You are fired. And you are fired, you are still fired. It's not in the volume. It's the person that said you are fired. All right? Is it not? So most times, we love to tell the issues of life you are fired. But the last time I checked, your ID card is not in your pocket. The last time, your ID card is not in your pocket. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Where is your ID card? They didn't have an ID card and life molested them. We are royalty. Life is not supposed to molest us. You know, when I'm saying this, I'm saying it's deeper than using it to get things. I'm saying in dimension of using it to influence culture. Using it to influence culture. Corruption cannot thrive in the space where we are in. Corruption cannot be asking us, where's your ID card and you don't have anything to show. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? You should be able to come to the point of full obedience so you can look at corruption and say, submit your ID card too. You can look at sickness and say, sickness, submit your ID card. Hallelujah. Let me end it here. I just want to show you, when I mean obedience and disobedience, someone will be talking, thinking about, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, the four things I'm going to list today has nothing to do with those things. You'll be saying this to people who don't know what they worship. This is the four things I want to highlight. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Does this look like an option? Hello? Hello? Family, please talk to me. Does Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 look like an option to you? Tell somebody, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is a command. Meditating on scripture is not optional. It is a command. And it's a command that you don't do when you feel like it. It's a command you do all the time. As long as you wake up every morning, you brush your teeth, you bathe every time, meditating on God's word is what you do all the time. And you see, and you shall meditate upon it day and night. It should not depart from your mouth. You meditate upon it day and night. You're presenting your ID card is actually presenting God's word in your mouth to circumstances. When I mean present your ID card, you'll be able to look at life and question what is harassing you. And because you know whose you are, you know your formation is in place, you're able to pull out your ID card. What did the Bible say about wealth? What did the Bible say about health? What did the Bible say about creativity? You pull it out against what is harassing you. Look at somebody, tell the person, meditation is not an option. Reading scripture is not an option. The second one is Matthew 10, 7 to 8. As you go, preach. Saying the kingdom, excuse me, he said as you go, which means you are expected to go. And he says every time you go, what are you supposed to do? You didn't get it. As you go, do what? Did you go today? Did you go today? Did you leave one place another place? That is the goal. I'm not saying as you go for evangelism. It's as you go. See, there's the part where he sent them out two by two. Then there's another part, this part that I say as you go. It means that as you do your daily life, as you do your business as a banker, as you do your business as a stylist, as you do your business as a fashion designer, as you go, preach. This is another obedience point. These are he was obedient to death and death on the cross. Therefore, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is here. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. So as you go doing what you are doing, God's business is on one hand, your business on the other hand. In Pastor K's words, don't drop any ball. So when you go back at the end of the day and you are reviewing what you achieved today, it is wrong to only review what happened on your left hand and not review what happened on your right hand, because there are two balls in your hand. What happened in my business today? Also, did I heal the sick today? Did I preach the gospel today? Did I cleanse the lepers today? Did I raise the dead today? These are the two questions you must answer every time. Don't feel good when you do one and you don't do other one, because that will be partial obedience. He was obedient to death and death on the cross, not some. And the fourth one, not neglecting meeting together as in the habit of some, encouraging one another and not neglecting the habit of being together. So when we keep telling you that life group is not an option, life group is the way to go, it's an obedient point too. The last one there is what? Pray continually. Did you say pray sometimes? Friends, full obedience, it is what is required to be able to come into the full formation of the image of God. Then we can function like our Father. When life questions you, and you have been trying to respond to life, but life seems not to have responded, check it. Maybe you didn't come with your ID card. But if you give into full obedience, and at every point in time, in every circumstance, there is a valid word of God, not the quotable quote, the one you just quote from your, just say because pastor said it, the one you have meditated over time and has become part of you, and you release it to that circumstance, the gate of that circumstance will surely open to you. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.